Thanks for listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, switching gears now and talking about children's literature. And boy, I don't know anybody better to talk about it than Kevin Hankes. He's an award-winning author, illustrator of many children's books, including Lily's Purple Plastic Purse, Owen, and most recently, Penny and Her Song. Wisconsin native and resident, lives in Madison, and it's great to have him back to be with us again to talk about children's books and certainly to answer your questions, and we'd love to hear from you. Do you and your kids love Kevin Hankes' books? What's your favorite? Wonder how he writes those heartwarming stories with such great characters. Great characters. I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or please feel free to go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can post a question or a comment there. Kevin Hankes, welcome back. Thanks for being with us today.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, when did you first start drawing and writing?
I think I've been an artist my entire life. I don't remember a time when I did not love to draw. So I think I didn't choose it. I think it chose me. Writing came later. I always loved books. And I liked to write in school, but it wasn't until I was a junior in high school that I really began to think about it in a higher form. And I think it's because I had an English teacher who
was really good
and who said to me once, I wouldn't be surprised if I saw a book with your name on it one day. And
oh, wow.
So that was huge for me.
Oh, yeah. That's a wonderful teacher.
She is and was. And I think that's when I really began to think about children's picture books. I thought, I love to draw and paint. This person says I'm a good writer. Wouldn't it be great if I could combine writing and drawing in one art form? And
yeah, that's what you've done.
Began to think about it
with great success. And your little mice characters are so Lily and Owen and Julius and Penny, and many more, of course, are so endearing. And how did you settle on mice?
Well, I now looking back, I didn't plan it in any way at all. The first four books I did, the characters were humans, fairly realistically rendered. And my fifth book was more humorous than the others. And I thought I could better tap the humor in the text if I drew animals and drew them a little bit more loosely. That book was Bailey Goes Camping, and I used rabbits. The next book was A Weekend with Wendell. I wanted to do animals again. I sketched a few different things and decided on mice, and I had such a good time with that book that I just kept doing it. And there are certain things one can do with animals that one can't do with realistically rendered humans. Well, in Julius the Baby of the World, for example, Lily pinches Julius's tail, her new brother, of whom she's jealous. She screams in his ear. One can heighten the drama and heighten the humor and have it be funny, and it might not work with realistically rendered humans.
I can see that. But Lily is such an endearing. I love Lily. Everybody loves Lily, I think. She is such a wonderful character. Is she drawn from anyone in particular?
Well, I think she's a composite. She first appeared in my book, Chester's Way, and it was the story of two very particular boys. And I needed something to shake up their friendship, and I thought I could have a girl move in. At the time, I had a niece who is very much into dressing up. And so I think that's where Lily gets her nifty disguises. So I think she comes from different places.
And that's a great book, by the way.
Thank you.
I love that book. Dave in Silver Bay, Minnesota. Thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi. I just really want to say that you were just talking about Chester's Way is one of our all-time favorite kids' books, and particularly because just what Kevin mentioned, how particular the characters are and how wonderfully unique and celebrated they are and being so individual. I just wanted to thank Kevin for writing that book.
Well, thank you for your comment. I always love it when I hear from a family that one of my books is well-loved, or little snippets of dialogue or words from the book become part of the family vernacular, and you made my day.
Oh, thank you, Dave.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I just wanted to say, we often say at our house, you know, that we just use kind of the catchphrase, and then Victor moved into the neighborhood. And we love that idea that everybody gets to be who they are, and we'll look at people the way they are, the way we see them. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you very much. Oh, yeah, that must be great to hear comments like that.
I love it. Every now and then, when that happens, I'm really blown away by it.
Kevin Hick is our guest today, multiple award-winning author and illustrator of many children's books, including Lily's Purple Plastic Purse. I hope you'll join in with your questions and comments at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or go to my Facebook page. You can post a question or a comment there. We'd love to hear from you. Do you feel like you live with your characters, as you do with people?
I do, and particularly when I'm writing a longer book, a novel or a chapter book for middle school kids, because it takes so much longer, I really do feel that I am living with them. I dream about them. I'm really thinking about them all the time, and it's a nice anchor in my life. I feel as if something's missing when I don't have a book that I'm working on that I'm really wrapped up in.
It's what is, I suppose, Lily's Purple Plastic Purse, is that your most popular?
I think it is.
Popular ever?
Yes, it is. And the other, Kitten's First Full Moon, which won the Caldecott Medal. But Lily, yes, I think. I mean, she just seems to keep going on, which is nice.
And, you know, I sort of get, I'm a little, I don't know if it's irritated is the right word, but I sometimes question people who say, well, I'm going to write a kid's book, and they sit down and write a kid's book in an afternoon, and it's, that's not the way a good book works.
No, not for me anyway. And I think it is interesting because I think children's books is one of those fields which so many people think, oh, I can do that, or you know, they're short, I could whip one of those off. And I think it, you know, goes much, much deeper than that. And I'll often hear people say, well, my grandchild loves this book that I wrote, or my child loves this book that I wrote. And my former editor used to say, but if you take a child who you love and you sit them on your lap and you read the telephone book, they'll love it because they love you. But I think it might look easy, but it's not.
There's more to it. Eric in Black River Falls. Hi, thank you for calling.
Yeah, good morning. I read Chrysanthemum to my son last night, so I was happy to hear you on the radio. I was reading the book, and I noticed hanging on the school wall was a map of Wisconsin. And I never knew you illustrated the books. My wife told me after I read the book, I said, oh, look, there's a map of Wisconsin. She said, yeah, I know. He illustrates the books as well, and he lives in Madison. I just wasn't aware of that. So it was nice to see a homegrown author giving Wisconsin a little credit in the books.
Oh, well, thank you. And thank you for noticing that. I love to put little things, little asides in the illustrations, often a nod to Wisconsin or places that I know and love.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. Jane in Sun Prairie, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
I wanted to tell you that, when did Lily come out at first? What year was that, 1995?
I think Lily was published, Lily's Purple Plastic Purse, I believe, was published in 1996. But
96, that would work. We first moved here, and my two little girls and I used to hang around at the independent Pooh Bear bookstores on the east side.
Yes.
And we would spend all afternoon there, and we got a copy of Lily. And then we found out, one of the ladies at the store called me, because I don't know if it was through the company or what, but they made a bunch of plastic purses.
Yes.
And they put aside a plastic purse just for us and called us and asked us to come and pick it up. And we still have the plastic purse. It's right with the book. And it's one of our favorite memories. And I wish there was more bookstores like that, because we could just, like I said, stay all afternoon and lay on the floor and read books. And, of course, I never got out of there in under $100. It was okay. That was all right. The one thing growing up is my kids could have as many books as they wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
But thank you so much for that beautiful story.
Oh, you're welcome. And I miss Pooh Corner as well. It used to be a place that I would go to several times a week. Yeah. With my kids and before I had kids.
Well, thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate it. Sue in Appleton, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've appreciated the picture books, but I also appreciate your children's fiction. And I'm wondering, as your own kids get older, if you've considered writing for the young adult audience. And before I take my answer off the air, I just wanted to say that last week I told my son that his sweet white fur was not so sweet. And he needed to take a shower. Thanks a lot.
That's a line from Julius, the baby of the world. Again, I love that when that happens.
And you know what? I'm going to have you just think about it. And I know you've got an answer for Sue here, but we'll take a quick break. Come back after a look at the news and find out what else is in store for us. And Sue, then you'll get your answer, and so will everybody else. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Whether you're 8 years old or 80 years old, I think you can easily name your favorite children's book. It's really well written, and illustrated children's literature, I think, really touches the hearts and makes a lifelong impression on us. But what makes a children's book great? Larry Mueller here. Glad you could join us today on the Ideas Network. Kevin Hankus is the creator of a whole cast of characters that are favorites of parents and kids alike, from Lily and her purple purse to Julius, the baby of the world. Kevin has a knack for entertaining and teaching us. And maybe you have a favorite book or character of Kevin's. I hope you'll join in with your questions and comments. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. And don't forget our Facebook page, at The Larry Mueller Show. And please like it when you get there. We'll send you regular updates. Back after the news. Thanks for listening in to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller, and really pleased to have Kevin Hankus as our guest today. He's an award-winning author and illustrator of many children's books, including probably the all-time favorite, Lily's Purple Plastic Purse, among others, Owen, and most recently, Penny and Her Song. Wisconsin native and resident. Great to have him along. And thank you for listening in today. Questions for him or comments, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can post a question or a comment there. Kevin, you were asked about writing for older children, a book, and comment on that?
Well, the book, I guess, that is for the oldest audience is Olive's Ocean. The main character is 12, and some of the kids are 14. And as my kids are growing up and getting older, I do think about writing for older kids. I haven't done it yet, and I think I may need a little distance, but I do think about it.
We have a Facebook comment from Connie. The list is endless for your books. Lily's Purple Plastic Purse, Owen, Chrysanthemum, Julius, The Baby of the World. And also fabulous thanks for the joy you brought to our house. I know my kids will also pass them on when they have their own. And also my daughter claims she will name her daughter Chrysanthemum.
Oh, boy. That might be hard for the kid. But that's a nice thing about children's books, though, passing them on.
Yeah.
And I think I still have many books that I had when I was a boy, and I think it's a great thing to do.
Absolutely. Joe and Monona, on to you now. Hi, thank you for calling.
Well, nice to listen to this program. I'm calling because I have a 16-year-old granddaughter that has been drawing and writing stories since goodness knows how young ago. And she does quite a job. The rest of the family will be visiting, and the younger kids will be playing with their electronic things. And she's drawing or writing. And she does she has improved so much through the years. And I'm just wondering, what other advice can I give her? Other than put your pencil and paper down for a while.
She sounds like me. Well, I think, you know, just encouraging one. When I was a boy, I took art lessons at a local museum. I took every art class that I could in high school. And when I really began to think that children's books was what I wanted to how I wanted to spend my life working, I really sought that out and looked at books that provided great information for where to go with that kind of thing. And I don't know if she is thinking that way already, but there's a great book called Writing with Pictures by Uri Shulevitz. And it's a great, great book that gives very specific and general information about how to craft a book. And he's a well-known award-winning author and illustrator who knows the craft very, very well. It's a good place to start.
Well, I got the name Uri Shulevitz down, I think, but writing
with pictures.
And that's exactly what
she's the name
doing.
Of the book. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Well, good luck to her.
Yeah, thanks, Joe, for calling. Appreciate it very much. Facebook comment from Julie. My 10-year-old son, Owen, has loved your books for years. He even received a signed copy of Owen from a mutual friend of ours, Walter Hamady. Thanks for the great books.
Oh, that's nice. And Walter Hamady, of course, is a former professor in the art department here, who was one of my professors.
Mary Beth on Facebook said, I search out your books to give to new babies instead of plastic toys and outfits they'll wear only once or twice, hoping they'll grow into the idea of being no less than who they are.
Oh, that's very nice, and I love when I hear that from people.
Beautiful. Richard and Fairchild, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi. Kevin, you're an established author, I take it, with a numerous number of books and everything else. And I've got 24, 25 different characters that I've copyrighted. And copywriting is a $55 process, and I'm sure you're familiar with that. And I've been trying to break in for the last 20-some years to get my characters out. In fact, naively, back in the early 90s, I sent, after I had the copyrights, to different companies, and Procter & Gamble and Gerber Baby Food Company tried to steal my, characters.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a problem with a lot of illustrators, I'm sure. But what I'm trying to do is desperately trying to break in. And
Are you writing fiction?
Yes, I'm writing fiction, yeah. These are characters that I've worked with other illustrators. And I'm not a real cartoonist, but I've worked with illustrators and cartoonists. And one actually passed away here about 5-10 years ago. I'm trying to break in.
All right.
Well, I think it seems like I came at it from a different angle. I, wrote a story and had a character and took it to a publisher. And it seems as if what you're doing is maybe a little bit different than that. I mean, I can talk about preparing a book for a publisher, which it seems like this is a slightly different thing. For me, it was writing the book, getting it ready, doing sample illustrations, researching publishers, trying to figure out which publisher might be more receptive to the kind of work that I did. I think that's very, very important. Different publishers do different kinds of books. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great thing to do in terms of research. The field has changed since I began. When I began, I could call up a publisher and say, could I make an appointment to show a portfolio for children's book illustration? That was 32 years ago. Now, most of the major trade publishers require that one have an agent. I didn't and still don't. So I think the field has really changed, and I think it is more difficult. There used to be books, and I'm assuming they're still around, the writer's marketplace. It's probably all online now. And the artist's marketplace. And those kinds of books were helpful to me, 30-some years ago when I began.
Yeah.
But the field has changed.
Yeah. I'm wondering, is the whole business of having everything digital and digital books and all that, has that had any impact on you?
It has, and I am a admitted Luddite. I still write in longhand first, and then I type on a typewriter. Mm-hmm. I still have a couple of ribbons left. I don't do email. I have a website, but it's my name and my publisher does it. I'm not keyed into the whole electronic world. A couple of my picture books have been developed for e-reading devices, and I think they are great. I really love a book.
And
I often think when I see certain picture books, often oversized picture books that are on little e-reading devices, it seems as if it doesn't always work successfully. Yeah. If you take a already existing art form and try to shoehorn it into another, I don't think it always works.
Yeah, I think you're right. Patty in Oregon emailed and said, Sun and Spoon is one of my favorite novels. I really connected with so many aspects of the story. I'm wondering if Kevin had a connection with a grandparent and what sparked the idea of the deck of cards. I used to play cards with my grandma every day, had grape juice and Cap'n Crunch for breakfast every day, was a teacher and loved a garden.
This is very interesting because so many of those aspects are parts of that particular book. It's a story of a 10-year-old boy whose grandmother dies, and he wants something to feel connected, to remember her after that loss. And he takes a deck of cards from his grandfather's house, and the cards had suns on them. And I lived very close to my grandparents when I was a boy. I played cards with my grandmother quite often. So very much of it is drawn from my life. I often think back to my own childhood when I'm working. And that is particularly the case with Sun and Spoon.
Liz and Dane, hello to you.
Hey, it's so great to get through, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Your books are all wonderful. I only had boys, but I still enjoyed Lily's Purple Plastic Purse and all of those books. But I think that your last comment is a great segue to my question or my statement. I went to high school with you, and I think that you did get chosen to do this because you were always a kind and gentle and thoughtful person. And that comes through in your book so beautifully. We are all so grateful and proud of you. I just wanted to say that, and thanks for continuing writing and doing your craft.
Well, thank you. I'm sort of speechless.
Where'd you go to school?
St. Catherine's High School in Racine.
Yeah.
The only problem is because you're a Luddite, it's really hard to reach you for classroom.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
That's such a wonderful comment, Liz. And I know it's appreciated. That would tear me right up if I got something like that. Greg and Racine, it's your turn. Hi, Greg.
Hi there. Mr. Hankus, you gave permission to a choral group in Racine several years ago to musically adapt one of your books. And I'm blanking on the title of it, but I was actually involved in the arranging of that music, and it turned out to be just a spectacular experience for all of us to do that. It was, I think, a book about a little brother who was really irritating to the older sibling.
It was Julius, the baby of the world, and it was absolutely wonderful. I loved it. I thought the music was just spectacular. It was...
All I did was arrange what the choir sang. I didn't write any of the lyrics or anything, but it was great to be even a little part of that. I just wanted to say that my favorite of your books is Sheila Ray the Brave, and I'm intrigued by the fact that that main character is not a fully likable character in the way that so many characters in children's books, we tend to think of them that way. And I just wanted you to say a word about that, and thank you for writing that.
Well, thank you for your comments. I love that production. And I think Sheila Ray, like some of my other characters, like Wendell in A Weekend with Wendell and Lily, is multifaceted. And they aren't completely likable, but I think they're hopefully emotionally honest. And I think like all kids who are people. I mean, we all have many sides to our personalities, and I think that's what makes a character interesting. And hopefully a kid, a child reader or listener can identify, because none of us are perfect.
Well, I am so glad he called, too, because it's reminding me that through Sunday, May 20th, Children's Theater of Madison is staging Lily's Purple Plastic Purse.
Yes, yes. I saw it last Saturday, and it is absolutely spectacular. It's a great production. The sets, the staging, the direction is fantastic. And the kids are really wonderful. And it's a long play. It's an hour and 10 minutes or something. Yeah. And it really was surprising to me that these kids could do it.
They do it
so well. And it's a great production. It originated at the Seattle Children's Theater in 1999. Mm. And I've seen it at the Kennedy Center in Washington. But I have to say, this is really superb.
Wow. And it's so it's Children's Theater of Madison. And I think people can go online.
They can go to ctmtheater.org. Or call 258-4141 for tickets. And it runs through May 20th.
141. So I think we have that posted. We have that up, Judith. Yeah, we have it. We have it up on my Facebook page, too. So if you didn't get that down, just go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. And the phone number and the other link is right there. And you can link right to it. So it must be great to see your work live on the stage.
It is. In the very beginning, when it happened in 1999, I remember feeling a little hesitant about doing it. And Kevin Kling, the man who wrote it, took Chester's Way, Julius the Baby of the World, and Lily's Purple Plastic Purse and combined them into one story. And he did a marvelous job, I think. I remember feeling at the time, because one needed to add to make it a full-length production. Every now and then, I would feel like, oh, that's not my choice of words. But I remember when I came to the realization that I needed to sort of let it go. And it was marvelous for me because I did. The books are still the books. The play is the play. And I really do love it. I think
it's
a wonderful job.
Right through May 20th. So go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, and you'll find out all the information about going and seeing that production. Allison and Racine, it's your turn. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm so excited to speak with your guest. And it's been a great time lately here in Racine. I've had the opportunity with my son to meet some other children's authors through Racine Reads, the initiative here to get kids reading. And I just wanted to say that, kind of commenting on what the last caller said about your characters, Lily and Wendell, that I think the fact that they are kind of imperfect, if that's an okay word to use, is really great, because it helps kids realize that, you know, there are other kids out there just like them, and it's okay not always to be happy or do exactly what your parents say, and that life goes on, and that they're loved and wonderful anyways. And it just really is great reading your books, and I just wanted to thank you for that.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that comment. And I guess that When I'm working on a book, I don't think about anything except writing a book that's entertaining and that's emotionally honest. But when I hear comments like that, I'm really heartened, and I love that. And I hope that I do reflect my belief that, you know, we all are imperfect. And I guess that's what I'm hoping for. And when I hear those comments, it really makes my day.
Thank you. Thanks very much for calling. You know, we lost Marie Sendak last week. The Wild Things are beloved by many of us. What makes good children's literature, especially that stands the test of time?
I think emotional honesty is what it really is about. And I think Sendak really knew what it or remembered what it was like to be a kid, those feelings. I think he really understood the complex nature of childhood and did not condescend, never, ever did. I think it's a huge loss. I think he was so good. And I have very strong memories of Where the Wild Things Are from when I was a boy. It was one of the books that I was lucky enough to own. Mine was Scholastic Book Club paperback edition, which I still own. But it was huge in my life and huge in my artistic life. And I think it was very sad. I went back the day after he died and went through the bookshelf and was re-looking at books of his, both those that he wrote and illustrated and those that he just illustrated. And, you know, it's such beautiful art. And people often say that children's books are a child's first real exposure to art. And if that's so, I mean, go to Sendak's books because they're beautiful.
Yeah. Well, that's something that's got to be, that must make you feel great or fulfilled in some ways. The fact your books are going to be read long after you're gone.
It's true. And when I began, all I wanted to do was to be alone in a room doing what I loved. And I didn't really think about the books going out into the world. And when I first started receiving letters from kids and teachers and parents, it made me think about it in a whole new way. And the older I get, the more I think about that.
You're not related by any chance to Ralph Hankus and Racine, are you?
I am related to Ralph Hankus and Racine. Oh. Ralph Hankus was my uncle who passed away recently.
Yeah. Well, Karen, on our Facebook, just wondered if you were related. Karen said Ralph was my soccer coach at Prairie, and he is highly missed. I want to turn back to Penny and Her Song, which is your latest book, and it's for independent readers.
It's my first attempt at writing a book for beginning readers. I'd never done it before. I'd wanted to. I guess the time was never right, but it was a great challenge. It was fun to do something new.
Yeah, and it's out and
it's out in the world
and doing well.
It is doing well. It is.
My daughter hasn't read it yet.
Well, I have a copy.
I'm telling you, Kevin, this has been so much fun. I appreciate very much.
I loved it.
You taking the time to be with us. And what do you have down the road?
Well, Penny and Her Song is part of a series. Penny and Her Doll will come out in August. Penny and Her Marble will come out in February. And I'm currently working on a novel for middle school kids.
Oh.
So hopefully there's always something that's
Something in the works. And of course, are you going a second time to the Children's Theater of Madison?
I might if I can. I really loved it.
Lily's Purple Plastic Purse playing at up and through May 20th at the Children's Theater of Madison. Go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show and you can see how you can get to it and the timing and so forth. Kevin Hankus, our guest today, what a wonderful, wonderful time to have with him. He is obviously an award-winning author, illustrator of many children's books, the Owen, Lily's Purple Plastic Purse, and most recently, Penny and Her Song. He is Wisconsin, Madison native and resident, and he's a wonderful writer. And it's great to have him with us today. And great to have you listening in today. I really appreciate that as well. And we have, of course, the show coming up tomorrow. And we'll look at Buckshot Anderson, an author and outdoorsman. He's talking about his latest book, Traveling Trails Less Traveled, and why there's something to love about every season in Wisconsin. And then at 11:45, we'll celebrate World Wetlands Month, and we'll have some folks from the Wisconsin Wetlands Association to do that with, and that's going to be a lot of fun as well. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening in today, and please stay with us. Lots in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.